On Earth, there is no heaven, but there are pieces of it. Jules Renard.
I ran into a bear. I was coming around a corner, and I could see some movement there. And Dan Becker has a really short, funny video where he's doing an interview kind of with himself. But anyway, it's a hiker talking to like a neighbor, and they're like, well, what are you going to do if you run into wild animals out there? And he's like, well, I'm just going to yell, hey, bear. And they're going to instinctively run away in fear. And then at the end of the video, you hear him going, hey, bear, hey, bear. And he's running away from a bear chasing them, you know. I ran into the bear, and I'm like, hey, bear, hey, bear. He's just kind of looking at me, and he slowly starts walking away. And he turns around and kind of squares up with me a little bit, facing me. And I'm like, oh, are we going to have a charge?
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the trail, dirt bags and hiker trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute to help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. Well, this week, I've got a very different type of episode for you, our constant listeners. This week's episode was a few weeks, maybe even a couple of months in the making. You see, this episode has two very distinct parts. The first segment, this one right now, was recorded before Mike Riggs took on the John Muir Trail this summer. And the second segment was recorded after he completed the hike. This is our first before and after episode. Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good. Let's hope I make it back for that second interview, huh?
Yeah, otherwise this episode is not going to be too exciting. You have to hang in there and do the trail and come back and talk to us about it.
All right.
And I really appreciate the fact that you reached out to me on Facebook with this concept. And you know what? I think it is brilliant. So where'd you come up with this idea?
I don't know. I was just thinking about, you know, some of the different responses you hear about people when they start getting into hiking, or they're thinking about doing a through hike, and pretty much romanticizing, you know, what their expectations are of the hike versus what really happens out there. And I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun just to hear the different responses in myself, even, you know, in regard to the before and the after.
Yeah, there's a lot of romanticizing that goes on out there. I mean, if you just think that hikes are all what is posted on Instagram, I mean, you are sadly mistaken, right? I mean, that is just the moments of glory in between all the agony in between.
Oh yeah. I know I'm going to have a lot of type 2 fun out there, and I'm just hoping I don't have too much type 3 fun out there.
That's right. Very good. Very good. All right. Hey, Mike, have you picked up a trail name up to this point?
You know what? I don't have a trail name because I really haven't done any long distance trails other than when we were on the Pacific Crest Trail doing a section J last summer with my son-in-law, Nick, and his buddy, Luke. They were being really nice and polite to me and trying to be real kind. And I was giving them crap just for fun. And they really didn't know how to take me. And so anyway, Nick, he ended up leaving his sleeping pad there in the car. And we headed out, and we were about 5-10 miles out, and we get a in-reach message from his wife. It's like, hey, I got your pad. You want to turn around and come back? And we're like, no way. We're not hiking back. And I had a Z-Rest pad that I use just to kind of lounge around as a camp chair. And then I've got a Nemo tensor that I sleep on. And so I let him use that. But then he said he didn't have room for it on his pack. So I ended up carrying this thing for the whole week. And I'm like, hey, what's this? Am I the mule? You know? And so we're in about 4 days in on the trip. And Nick, Luke, his buddy, has been really nice to me. And he's like, hey, Mike, these ladies were coming through and they had pack horses and they had a mule and they're coming through the creek there to resupply a trail crew on the Pacific Crest Trail. He's like, look, Mike, you're not the only old mule out here. And that one kind of stuck. So right now, I guess it's old mule, or maybe it's one of these since I haven't done any trails yet, but I really don't have a trail name yet.
I like old mule. That has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it might stick. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. All right. Now, I have a follow-up question here because you said Nick is your son-in-law, right?
That is correct. Yes.
And so he's not quite sure how to treat you out there. Is it, it's the father-in-law. I've got to stay in his good graces.
Well, he learned real quick. You know, if somebody's not giving me a hard time, I'm not really comfortable. So he knows how to take me now.
Yeah. There should be some good sparring out there. A little bit of trash talking, a little bit of ribbon. I mean, that's the fun part of it out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're not doing that, you're not having fun.
Okay. Now you have listened to some of the episodes. And so do you have a favorite episode so far?
You know what? I like the one where Quadzilla was on there.
Yeah.
And also, what was the other one? Was it Ginger Balls?
Ginger Balls. He's one of my favorites. He is so fun to talk to.
Yeah. It was interesting because, he has so much experience on the trail and, kind of gives you a little bit more of a real look at it, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have him on for his fourth time on the podcast when we can line up some time when he's off the glacier. He's up there in Alaska right now doing some dog sledding. Every time we've tried to connect when he's off the glacier and within some decent Wi-Fi, I've always had a conflict. So we're going to get him on for season four somewhere in the season. So
nice.
Yeah, and Quadzilla, I mean, Jack Jones, what a story that guy has.
It was. And you know what was really cool about him sharing his story is he was so open with his whole life. Right. And it's interesting, really, getting a little background on somebody like that.
So yeah. I've said a couple times on this podcast that, we talk about outdoor adventure and all the various aspects to that. But I think really at its heart, this podcast is a human interest story. I love hearing the stories behind our guests, who they are and what they've gone through. And sometimes I ask questions that I know the answers to. And sometimes I ask questions expecting a certain answer and I get a completely different answer. And it just takes us in a wild direction, but that's okay. Cause I love to hear the stories. Like when I asked Jack where he was from, tell us about his childhood. And he tells us about that whole story where he was born in China during the Tiananmen Square revolution and how that all unfolded. Just mind blowing.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Pretty cool that he shared that.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's kind of interesting about hiking with people is people have a tendency to open up sometimes. So that's kind of cool.
That's right. I'm looking forward to seeing how you open up and what you share tonight.
Okay.
Well, the reason I asked if you had listened to the podcast before, because I want to make sure that you're familiar with a regular segment that we do, which is called the Pro Tip Insight of the Week. That's a segment that comes towards the end. And we'll have this segment after you get back from the John Muir Trail. I'll ask you for a pro tip that you can share with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. And feel free to drop trail wisdom throughout the episode, though.
Okay.
Okay.
What little wisdom I have, I'll drop.
Okay.
All right. Compared to your other podcasts that you've done, I'm very limited in regard to my knowledge compared to these other guys.
We cover the full spectrum and we have fun doing it, so no problems. Good. All right.
It's time for a current event.
So, Mike, I don't know if you've heard a segment yet where we've done a current event, but I've got some stuff to talk about today that is recently in the news that I thought I'd share with you and kind of get your impressions on. So you ready for this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, what I just learned about just the other day is that, we're recording this. This is June 1st right now.
Right.
And so what I learned is we have two episodes dropping this week. We always drop an episode on Saturday and then another one on Monday.
Okay.
And my two guests this week, Saturday's guest is John Schwartz, goes by the trail name Airborne. And he yo-yoed the Pacific Crest Trail. He basically made the Pacific Crest Trail an out and back trail. Right. He hiked from Mexico to Canada and then turned around and came back. So it was just an out and back. That's all.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then Monday's guest is Derek Mathewson, who goes by Dreadhead Derek. And we talked to him about some of his adventures out in the canyons and desert out there. And I come to learn this past Saturday that those two guys know each other. They actually went to high school together. And I had not known that ahead of time. It was not planned. It was not coordinated. But two guys who know each other very well, who went to high school together, end up on the same podcast, and their episodes are coming out within 2 days of each other.
Wow. Did they do much together outdoors when they were in high school?
They haven't said, I haven't learned anything about that, but I did suggest to them that they need to come on to the podcast and do a reunion episode where we kind of get to the nitty gritty and talk about all that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've got a couple of other pieces of news. Unfortunately, this is not as happy of news. Mm-hmm. We saw this week that a hiker fell off McAfee Knob off of the AT. And died. They think he passed out while he was up on the knob and fell to his death, which is tragic.
That is pretty tragic. You know, living here in Arizona, I do a lot of things in the Grand Canyon and stuff, and of course we hear about a lot of tourists and stuff falling off the edges doing their selfies and stuff there too.
Yeah, I think he was from the Netherlands. Wow. And I don't think he was doing the whole trail. I think he was doing a section, but he was going to plan to come back and do the whole trail later. And people said that, you know, they were talking to him and he was seemed absolutely fine. And then he just kind of slumped and fell off. And so they think he may be passed out. And I guess just a real tragedy.
Well, yeah, it's tough. Very tough.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, there is a trail on the northern coast of California called the Lost Trail. Have you heard of that one?
No, I'm not familiar with the Lost Trail.
Yeah, so it is a trail that it goes along the coastline. They tried to build Highway 1, Pacific Coast Highway, all the way up and down the state. And I guess they ran into some pretty rugged terrain up in Northern California. And so they abandoned that effort. But so now there is a hike up there called the Lost Coast that kind of hikes along that and along the beach. But there are some segments of that hike where you have to know the tides.
Okay, I've heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, you can't make it around at high tide. You have to know when low tide is to be able to make it across. And I guess I just saw it in the news today, this afternoon, that two hikers drowned while trying to do the Lost Coast in California. So,
well, that's tough. You know, you hate to hear those stories, but it's, you know, there's, you're going to go somewhere or another eventually. And, you know, at least they were out there doing something they enjoyed. So that's good.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to spook you by bringing these up before your John Muir trail hike, but you know, we have to realize and recognize that with all the beauty out there, sometimes there comes some element of danger.
Oh, definitely. No, there's definitely danger out there, and you've got to respect it. And when it comes to the John Muir Trail, I think some of the things that I would be my highest things that I'm going to be watching closely would be, you know, lightning, of course. And then also, we haven't had too much snow, so I don't think I'm going to have major issues with any river or creek crossings like they have some other years. But those are two things that you just, some people don't take, they don't even think about. It's not on their radar screen, but I'll be watching that.
Right. I'm going to give you a pro tip here that nobody told me, even my hiking buddies who are a little more experienced than me. But when you cross a river, especially if it's you know, approaching waist deep, make sure that you unbuckle your hip belt.
Okay. Yep.
Because if you go down, you want to be able to get out of your pack. You don't want to be weighted down by your pack and drown because of that. So.
Right. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I had heard that previously, but I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Okay. All right. It's just a reminder then.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
The must bring gear review.
All right, old mule. Another feature we've been doing this season is the must bring gear review sponsored by the ultralight backpacking company, Six Moon Designs. Here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Mike, what is your must bring piece of gear out there?
My must bring piece of gear is, I've got big old wide feet, so it would be my Ultra Lone Peak shoes. And I've got prescription orthopedics that fit inside of those. So that's my must bring. Not too exciting, but they get me down the trail.
So important. I mean, if the feet aren't happy, the hiker's not happy. I mean, if you're focused on every painful step, it's not a very good hike.
No. So yeah, that's my number one priority.
Okay. Did you find yourself when you started hiking going the expected route, what everybody, you know, what you thought of hiking in that, and that's boots? Did you try
boots definitely
first?
Yeah.
And then made the switch?
Yeah. When I first started hiking, we were doing, you know, a lot of stuff in the Grand Canyon rim to rims and things along those lines and doing boots. And, you know, I kind of watched you know, some of the different through hikers going to the trail runners and stuff. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know, lightening those loads. And since I've gone to trail runners, I would never go back. So.
Yeah, they are a game changer. I'm right there with you. Never go back to boots. Trail runners are the way to go.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, our next segment.
It's the hiking pole.
The hiking pole. That is P-O-L-L, not P-O-L-E. This is a 7-question survey that's going to help me put you on a scale. It's going to help me evaluate you. Scale from 1 to 100, with 1 being absolutely bonkers and 100 being completely sane. Now, this, I don't think we've had an episode air with the new hiking pole in it. So this is going to be a little bit of a surprise for you, I think.
Oh, okay.
These are not actually related to hiking, these questions.
These
are the big questions in life that are debated on a daily basis around the world. And so these are the big questions. I'm going to see which side of each of these questions you fall on. It's going to help me evaluate if you're ready to get out there on the trail.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I think. Let's do it.
Okay. Now, if someone were to ask you ahead of time, say, hey, Mike, how would you rate yourself 1 to 100? With 100 being completely sane, where would you put yourself on the scale, or where would your friends and family put you?
Well, I would probably put myself at maybe 75, and friends and family might be ranking me on down there around 50.
Oh, really?
50-50, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that difference exists?
Well, you know, just by doing some of these hikes and things along those lines, they think I'm a little crazy doing that. They're like, why would you do that to yourself? Friends like, you carry everything you need on your back. Why would you do that?
they just don't get it until they do it themselves.
That's it. Yes.
Yep. All right. So 7 questions. And these are all to be answered from just your everyday perspective. Don't think of this as when you're on a hike. This is just everyday stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. First question. Do you sleep with your socks on?
Not at home, but on the, when I'm in my quilt in the tent at night, I've got my socks on.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
No point deduction yet. That's good.
Okay.
Okay. Next question. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
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 Why not?
I would much rather have, you know, pepperoni, sausage, mushrooms.
Okay. So you're kind of like a meat lovers kind of guy.
Oh, pizza. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You said mushrooms. Vegetables belong on pizza?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bell peppers?
Oh, yep. Everything. I guess you could have pineapple occasionally, but it's kind of like very low on the totem pole. Only as lower than that would be anchovies.
Okay. So meat, it's a thumbs up. Vegetables, thumbs up.
You got it.
Fruit, like pineapple. Maybe, but fish, definitely not.
I've never had fish on pizza.
Well, anchovy's a fish, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Okay, yes.
Okay. All right, next question. Do you roll your toilet paper over or under?
Over.
Why do you think that is? That's the correct answer, but what's the analysis there? What's the
calculation? It's easier to pull off the roll there.
Right, yeah. I mean, you see where it is. It's easy to grab.
Yeah.
You don't have to reach underneath and kind of, you know, get the roll going to find out where the
That's it. You're not getting little shreds of paper all over the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Now, the follow-up question. This doesn't factor into the poll, but just curiosity. When you go to a friend's house or a relative's house and you're in the bathroom and you're sitting there, and you notice that their roll goes under, do you fix it for them?
No.
No. That's
I'm not that obsessive, no.
Okay. I think you just called me obsessive. All right. Next question. The digital picture, digital animated picture, the GIF or GIF, G-I-F. How do you pronounce G-I-F?
GIF.
GIF.
Yeah, that's how I pronounce it.
Not a GIF.
Not a GIF, but a GIF.
A GIF.
Yeah.
GIF is not just for peanut butter.
I guess not.
Okay. All right. Mike, cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs. Do you have a dog?
No, we've got a cat at home. Matter of fact, this morning, my wife's got.
Wait a second, old meal. I ask you, cats or dogs? You say dogs. And I said, do you have a dog? You say, no, I have a cat. I like you. This is great. Okay. Yeah. Explain that one to me.
Okay. So my wife loves cats and she doesn't like dogs, but I love dogs. And so this morning, we just got this rescue cat with one eye, and the damn cat, she leaves the doors open to cool the house off. And I come in this morning, the cat caught a dove and he's running through the living room, and I yell at him, Mia, and lets it go. And now the dove's flying around the house, and I'm like, Monica, get in here and help me get this damn bird out of the house, you know. But anyway,
cat brought it in. Help me get this bird.
That's it.
Oh my gosh, that's great. That's fantastic. All right. Hey, Mike. Next question. Question number six. Do you use the Oxford comma?
No. I don't.
So in the sentence, the American flag is red, white, and blue. How many commas are in that sentence?
I guess I would be using three. Is that the Oxford comma?
Well, three would be a comma after red and a comma after white. So the second comma in a simple series of three.
Oh, okay.
If you're using three commas, I don't know what kind of comma that is, but that's like Oxford squared, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's probably me.
So do you use that second comma before the and? Red, white, and blue?
No, I wouldn't.
You just use red, comma, white, and blue. The right. And is the separator between white and
yeah,
blue.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, that's correct. He says it with authority there. That's correct. Okay. And last question, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, that's interesting. A hot dog sandwich.
We could devote a whole episode to this one.
A hot dog, well, you know, it's got a bun.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I wouldn't consider it a sandwich because usually a sandwich has... Well, you got open face sandwiches too. Usually I'd say a sandwich has two pieces of bread.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't consider it a sandwich. I'd call it, it's like a different category, hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have on the menu at a restaurant, you'd see sandwiches and hot dog wouldn't be one of those. You'd see a separate section with hot dogs, right?
Well, you know what?
This is complicated.
This is very complicated. You know, I didn't know we were gonna have trick questions here, yeah.
So your gut instinct is to say hot dog is not a sandwich; it's a separate category.
That would be true. Yes.
Okay. I had a former guest argue the point that the hinge in the hot dog bun is what disqualified it from being a sandwich.
Oh.
He made that same point that you made, that, you know, sandwich has two separate and distinct pieces of bread.
Was he an engineer?
He may have been. Is that your background, Mike?
No. But I've got some buddies that are engineers, and the whole hinge thing sounds like the direction they might go.
Yes. Yep. All right. Hey, let me do some math here. Some quick math. I'm going to carry the three. I'm going to divide by pi. Going to multiply by the root of 5. And we're going to factor in for the atmospheric pressure of 13,200 feet. You know what's at 13,200 feet, Mike?
13,200 feet. Guitar Lake?
No, I'm going to ask you that question again in segment two.
Okay.
You're going to tell me what's at 13,200 feet. It'll be very clear at that point.
If you said 14,505, I'd know.
Oh, I know. This is a trick question. I'm trying to keep you off balance here.
Okay.
All right. So I do the math here and I come up with a solid score of 60. I'm afraid that your friends are more correct than you are.
Oh, well, you know, that's good.
Yeah, 60. Wear that with as a badge of honor.
I will. I never wanted to be the same guy in the room.
Yeah. In fact, you might even introduce yourself on the John Muir Trail to other hikers as 60. And then the story could be, well, that was my hiking pole story on the John Freaking Muir Pod.
That, you know, that would probably fit in more than one way there.
All right. Hey, before we get too far down the trail, let's back up a little bit. We'd love to hear your background, where you grew up, you know, kind of sports and hobbies, and how you got involved in hiking. I mean, was this an experience that your parents fostered when you were young? Is this an activity that you guys did on the regular?
No, when I was a kid growing up, I've lived here in Phoenix, Arizona my entire life. And when we used to go visit the national parks, we would hit 5 national parks in one day. And we would drive by, jump out, take a picture, and go to the next one. That was my experience in national parks when I was a kid growing up. And
sounds like Chevy Chase in Vacation, right? With looking at the Grand Canyon. All right, here you are.
Exactly. Let's go. But and what got me involved in hiking was actually a trip into the Grand Canyon. I had a buddy that planned trips for a rafting company, and what they he told me, he's like, "Hey, I got a screaming deal here, Mike. If you want to go on this trip, you know, it's going to be a 7-day trip. It's the hiker special, but I need a decision in 4 hours." And I was like, "You know, I really need to work." And I'm like, but I'll go. And so I had to hike down into the Grand Canyon, and I'd always seen the Grand Canyon from up top, and I hated it as a kid until I had a chance to get in and experience it and actually get in the canyon. And then I really enjoyed that. And so anyway, we did that 7-day trip, and it just opened my eyes to a new world. And then when I came back, I started doing a lot of day hikes and just realized how much of a stress relief it is to get out there and hike. And it's definitely changed my life, and it just helps with the overall attitude.
Yeah, there is certainly a restorative aspect to hiking and being out in nature.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think reconnecting with us with our ancient roots.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just, it's funny, you know, because I just, a lot of days you get off work and you just want to go home and sit on the couch, and it's just like, you just need to go out and get some exercise, and your whole attitude changes. So.
Yeah. And I think your experience with the Grand Canyon is not a unique one. I think there are a lot of folks that maybe are impressed with it and maybe see it from above, but once they get down into it, really fall in love with that whole area.
Yeah. We've really enjoyed it. After I did that trip, I've done like 11 rim to rim to rim trips after that. Now, when I say rim to rim to rim, I'm not doing rim cubed. I typically go South Kaibab, you know, past Uaw Point, and then over to the North Rim, and then we'll have the cabin rented over there and have dinner that night, and then have a party on Saturday, and then hike back on Monday back up the Bright Angel Trail.
So I don't know if you listened to the Buzz Burrell episode that came out last week.
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
So he is the popularizer of the FKT. I try to label him as the founder of the FKT, but he just popularized it according to him.
Okay.
And he did the rim to rim to rim, and there were too many people, in his opinion, that were down on the bridge. And so he and his buddy, instead of going on the bridge, they went a little bit further and they swam across the Colorado River both ways.
That's quite a challenge with those temps in that river.
Sure. All right, so you were born in Arizona and you grew up there?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Yep. And and so as far as getting into hiking, that's kind of what got me started. You know, as a kid, you know, I rode motocross and did snow skiing and stuff like that, but that was really the only sporting activities I did. So.
Okay. And any brothers or sisters?
I've got one brother. It's 10 years older, but it's almost like we're two only children. We're so far apart. Yeah.
And does he also have a similar love of the outdoors?
No, not at all.
No. I think that's interesting that kids from the same family unit, you know, they have varying degrees of relationships with the outdoors.
Yeah, we're pretty much polar opposites on everything. It's kind of funny.
All right. And hey, Mike, what do you do to pay the bills, or what did you do to pay the bills?
I actually I've been a concrete contractor here in Phoenix for quite a while. And so that's what we've been doing for forever. And that's why I've stayed here, because we've got good weather. Talk to people back in Minnesota and places like that, and they'd say, "Oh, our trucks are froze up." So I never wanted to experience that, so I've always stayed here. But
now, a concrete contractor, how lucrative is that?
It's been a good business. Mm-hmm. Provided a good life for me.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm getting to the point where I'm wanting to get out and do some other things too. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, what is the attraction to the Sierras? How did you find out about the John Muir Trail and the Sierras? And
you know, well, I think what really drew me in is we did Whitney probably about 3 years ago in September. I think it was like late September. It was because it was like 14 degrees and we were heading up there. Everything was starting to freeze up big time as far as the waterfalls and stuff like that. Fell on a stream and froze my boot real quick. But anyway, so we got up there and when you're hiking Whitney, I'm sure you've been up there, and you get up to that one viewpoint where you dropped at, where you can look down on Guitar Lake. And I saw that view and it just blew me away. And ever since then, I've been just dying to get back out there and check it out.
That's interesting, because you can do Mount Whitney as a 1 day hike, or even a, you know, two or three day hike.
We did it as a 1 day hike.
Yeah. So you come up from Whitney Portal, which is right on the eastern side of the Sierra, and then hike up, go up the 99 switchback, get up to the top of Whitney, and then return back home. And it's quite a 1 day hike. I mean, is it 20 miles, 18, 20 miles?
Yeah, something like that. I think it's just a little over 20.
Yeah. And
I love that hike. Again, I did it with son-in-law, daughter-in-law, my wife. And we all enjoyed it. It was my favorite picture of my daughter-in-law. She's just one of these women that just always has a smile on her face and looks great. And then at the end of that trip, her hair was just all frizzed out and she just looked wiped out.
And, Whitney will do that to you. Let me tell you. Yeah. So you can do that as a 1 day hike. You go up there, you get to the top, you turn and you come back. But I love the picture in my mind that you've created of you kind of being up there at Trail Crest Pass or on the trail, on the Whitney Trail, the 1.9 Whitney Trail, and looking to the west and seeing Guitar Lake and seeing, you know, all of that grandeur and beauty beyond that. And just wondering, you know, what else is back there?
Exactly. Yep. No, the seed was planted. And I've just been dying to get back out there and check it all out since then.
Okay. Now, in terms of your family, we've heard of different family members here, your wife, daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Who is in your current family unit?
My current family unit is just my wife and I. Mm-hmm. All the kids are out now, so I guess we're empty nesters. But yeah. Okay.
How many kids?
I've got three sons and then a stepdaughter too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Nice. Now, two stepdaughters. Okay. They don't leave one out. You're going to get in trouble.
And I guess I have one stepson too. So if I throw them all in there.
Get them all in.
Okay. All right.
We don't want any hate mail to the podcast here.
Sorry about that, Patrick.
That's all right. Okay. Hey, now what have you been doing to prepare for the John Muir Trail? This is June 1st now. When do you depart?
Okay, I actually head out first day is July 2nd, and I'll be starting at Cottonwood, and I'm just going to hike up to Chicken Spring Lake, just do the short 5 miles the first day, sleep up there and try to acclimate a little bit to the elevations. Last weekend, I went up to Flagstaff, Arizona, and we've got Mount Humphrey there, which is right around 12,000 something feet. Mm-hmm. And so I went up and hiked that, did like 10 miles in and got up to about 10,000 feet and camped up there, and then went over the saddle and back down the other side for another 10 miles. And then on Sunday, did a little 5 mile hike. So I've been trying to knock some hikes out like that. I've been taking care of some personal things recently, so I haven't had a chance to train quite as much as I would like to. And then during the week, generally, I'll go out and do 5 or 6 miles, two or three times a week is what I've been doing.
Okay.
So I've got a knee that, you know, it's kind of funny because you sent me that message about this and I was like, damn, I thought I was going to have a rest day. Now I feel like the pressure's on. I better go out there and train. And so after doing a little 5 miler out in the desert with that 30 pound pack, my knee's a little tweaked, but I'll be good to go. I'm going to get a little physical therapy and be ready to charge.
Okay. I didn't mean to add extra pressure to you.
Oh, no. No, it's all good.
And hey, Mike, are you doing this solo or are you going with a buddy?
Solo.
Solo. A solo John Muir Trail hike. That is epic, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I figured, you know, John Muir Trail, there's going to be a lot of people out there. I'll get to, you know, meet some different people. That's one of the things I'm kind of looking forward to, is just meeting people out on the trail as well. And, you know, trying to find somebody that can go out there and take that much time off is very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And then also, if you find somebody, you've got to know them really well to be able to match your hiking speed.
Right.
You know, so this way I can take it easy or push as hard as I want either way. So
that's right. That's right. Kind of take some of that pressure off.
Yeah.
Now, no pressure here, but what is your time frame? How long do you think this is going to take you?
I'm planning on hiking 20. I'm going to be there out 23 days.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a zero at VBR. And actually, that falls right on my birthday. So I'll turn 61 there and have some burgers and beers there if everything goes as planned, knock on wood. And and then have my wife pick me up at over at, you know, at Clouds Rest.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, are you a big planner, Mike? I mean, do you try and map out every detail, or how much
research? Really. I mean, I wanted to get an idea of kind of where I was going to be just roughly from a mileage standpoint. And, but I don't have everything totally planned out. And matter of fact, I still need to pack my resupplies. That's something I need to do this week and get those shipped out. I've got most of the stuff here as far as the freeze-dried fruit, food and stuff like that. But as far as the miscellaneous Snicker bars or whatever, need to get all that put together. So,
okay. And I heard you mention 30 pound pack. Is that what you're expecting on carrying?
I don't know. Generally my base weight, I would like to keep it around. I'm not ultralight. That's for sure. Probably about 20 pounds. But with the bear canister and stuff like that, you know, there's an extra 2 pounds right there close to it. Mm-hmm. And with the 7-day food resupply, I'm going to really look at that hard, because I know when we did Section J last year, the food bag was 14 pounds all by itself, you know, and it's like, I want to lighten that up, but for sure.
Yeah. You know how you lighten that up? You eat as fast as you can.
There you go. I eat it on the first day, right?
That's right. That's right. you can burn it off the rest of the way.
There you go.
All right. Hey, Old Mule. What are you looking forward to on the
hike? You know, I think looking forward to the views and creating a lot of really good memories on the trail, and just, you know, having a chance to visit with a few people along the way, and you know, it's just living the dream. As far as, it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I don't want to get to a point in my life later on and go, boy, I wish I would have tried that. You know, I think I could have done it, but I never tried. So you know, you got to go for it.
Yeah. Is there one particular location that you've heard about that really intrigues you, that you're looking forward to more than other parts?
Not really. You know, it's, you know, with the elevations, it's going to be interesting. But, you know, because there's so much granite and, you know, just the type of scenery I've seen around Whitney previously. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm anticipating until I get closer to Yosemite. Nothing in particular. You know, some of the lakes and stuff I've heard really good things about, so that'll be fun. Especially, okay. You know, living in Arizona all your life, anytime you see water, it's a real treat.
you get real excited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take me much to get me excited when I see water.
All right. And hey, Mike, what are you not looking forward to?
Not looking forward to? Just the heavy pack. You know, hopefully I can lighten that thing up. I'm going to go through it about 3 times and figure out what I can get out of there.
Yeah. And just remember, every step you take, I mean, you are conditioning yourself. So, I mean, the first couple of days may be rough, but you stick with it and it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm a little nervous about you know, when I did Section J on the Pacific Crest Trail last year, that Snoqualmie to Stevens Pass, that mm-hmm. was so beautiful. The bar, I never thought it was, it's so high, you know, and it's just like, wow. But, you know, every environment's different and everything has its own beauty. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what I can discover.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Yeah. Nope. Okay. I've heard nothing but good things.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Well, quick for you, listeners, not so quick for us. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Mike will have done the John Muir Trail, and we're going to hear how reality measured up to expectations. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you in just about 45 seconds in your time and probably about a month and a half in our time. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young. And welcome back. We've been talking to Mike Riggs, and for you listeners out there and viewers who are watching on YouTube, only about 30, 45 seconds has passed in your life. But let me tell you, weeks have gone by and a lot has happened since last we talked to Mike Riggs. Welcome back to the podcast. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for running me through that time machine there, Doc.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be weird listening to this because, you know, I talked to you weeks ago and you went and did your trip, and here we are. We are following up. It is post JMT hike. Right. And I can't wait to hear about the good times you had out there and maybe the bad times. I don't know.
Oh, it was an awesome trip. Yes.
Okay. And a funny part that we have to share with our listeners is that I did the High Sierra Trail this summer, and we were coming off the High Sierra Trail. We did a little variation of the ending point. We had done the Mount Whitney finish a couple of times as part of some of our JMT hikes. And so we decided we weren't going to do the Mount Whitney exit to the High Sierra Trail. We actually veered south and came out through Cottonwood Pass. And so we're coming over Cottonwood Pass, and we finally get to it, and I hear my friends, the guys I'm hiking with, talking to somebody, and they're, you know, exchanging pleasantries and stories and what have you. And something rings in my memory as to, wait a second, I think I might know this guy. And lo and behold, it was Mike Riggs starting out. And I remember that he was going to start his trip on July 2nd. This was July 2nd. We were finishing up our trip. And we had a happy reunion there on top of Cottonwood Pass.
Yep, definitely a very small world. And that was the beginning, actually, of meeting people on the trail. And that was one of the neat things about the JMT.
Okay. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I'm trying to remember, when we did our first segment, did you have the full beard?
Nope, I did not have a beard. That's something that I did for the JMT, and thought I'd just leave it on at least to get through this interview, and then I might get rid of this white thing. Grandkids are calling me Santa, so I don't know what to do with this. So we'll see.
Perfect. You look like a hiker.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So let's talk. What happened out there? You started so, July 2nd. I so saw actually, you on top of Cottonwood, and then.
You did. You ran into my wife and I on Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. So we were going up to heading up to Cottonwood, going to Chicken Spring Lake for the first night. I wanted to acclimate up there because Chicken Spring Lake's right around 11,000 feet. And I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to have any issues with altitude or anything. So I was kind of playing it safe. So it's about a 5-mile hike in there. And Monica, my wife, went with me, which was really cool. And we camped up there, and then she packed everything up and went on home and did her trip up to Washington and Oregon. And then I headed out and started my journey, my adventure there on the John Muir Trail, which was just awesome.
Okay. And, so you started a little bit south.
Yes.
Of Mount Whitney. So how many total miles did you end up doing?
Probably with the resupplies, probably close to about 260 miles.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. Done, Mike. That's awesome. Yeah.
So it was, I took 23 days and I took 2 zeros in Vermilion Valley, and I did a resupply over Kearsarge Pass into Onion Valley. And then I stayed at Mount Williams Hotel, which was really nice. Those people are awesome. And got a shuttle ride in there from Lone Pine Kirk. And took me into Mount Williams and had a beer, and they washed my clothes and got my bucket, did a resupply, and was back out on the trail the following morning. And then my other resupply was in Vermilion Valley. So those were my 2 resupplies on the trip.
Okay. Now, I think in the first segment, did we try out a trail name? The Mule, was it?
Yeah. So
have you picked up something else?
Well, you know what? They tried to give me the name Smooth, a bunch of guys I met, and they were just being way too kind. You know, a trail name, I think, has to have a little bit of harassment to go along with it. But I'm like, Smooth? Why Smooth? And I'm like, well, you just got you got everything together. You're a real efficient hiker and all that stuff. And I'm like, you guys are being way too nice. So people had asked me my trail name, and I really didn't get another one on the trail. So I said, you know, my trail name is Smoother, a.k.a. the Old Mule. And, okay. Yeah, so that's kind of what I stuck with.
Nice. Now, the people that tried to stick you with Smooth, were they experienced hikers? Were they kind of newbies there?
No, they were experienced hikers. They had done the JMT before. There was actually, I called them the Zonies. I ran into those guys at Chicken Spring Lake. There was 4 of them from Arizona. And actually introduced myself there at Chicken Spring Lake. And then I ran into them on day 2 and actually ended up hiking with them for about 3 or 4 days. And we went up and did summited Whitney and camped out at Rock Spring and Crabtree for 2 nights there. And so that was awesome, getting to know those guys and stuff. But yeah, they were fairly experienced. Two of them did the JMT about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so 2 of the 4 guys were doing the full JMT this year. And so it was fun.
Well, I think you should take that as a high compliment. If you have experienced hikers calling you Smooth, I mean, that means that you're doing something right out there.
Well, I guess maybe they just didn't get to know me well enough to give me a real hard time. So
yeah. It was all smoke and mirrors out there for you.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Hey, Chicken Spring Lake. We made the decision not to go down to Chicken Spring Lake because we were finishing up. We thought we had enough. We could just finish out without doing any kind of, picking up some new water. But right. It looked pretty low.
It was
water level.
It was a little low, but it really wasn't too bad. You know, I've only been there once. So this is my first time there. So I really am not sure where the high water mark would be. When I was at Vermilion Valley Resort, that lake was very low.
Yeah.
That was the one that I only at Edison Lake seemed like it was extremely low. They were still running the ferry back and forth, the fishing boat there. But Chicken Spring Lake might have been a little low, but I just don't have any prior experience, and I couldn't really see any high water marks on it like you could on the other lake. So,
yeah, I mean, overall, that last stretch for us on the High Sierra Trail, the alternate route and the alternate ending that we took was pretty dry. We went long stretches without any kind of water source, probably 8-10 miles with no water source. I think probably from Chicken Spring Lake to Guyot Pass was pretty dry, other than the river down at the bottom by the campsite at the bottom of Gaia Pass. So,
right, most of the trail was in pretty good shape. I hiked majority of it all except for one day with just 1 liter of water, mm-hmm. carrying a liter at a time, and that's a big deal for me. Being from Arizona, I'm used to carrying 3 to 4 liters of water all the time. And so it took me a little while to make that adjustment, but it wasn't bad until I got down toward the area going into the Vermilion Valley Resort area. That area got pretty dry on us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now, we talked a little bit about expectations in the first segment and what you were looking forward to. Did the trail live up to your expectations, or were you surprised?
It did, actually. It was awesome. You know, I had the bar set pretty high, and it was really good. And I think what I really enjoyed, I was shocked because I was doing it as a solo hike, so I figured I would be out there majority of the time by myself. And I just ran across so many fun people. I probably only spent maybe 3 days, 4 days by myself out there. And the rest of the time I was hiking with somebody all the time. So it was fun. Okay. So that was nice. And then as far as the trail itself, from an expectation standpoint, I'll say when you're doing your planning for the John Muir Trail miles are not, Sierra miles are not like normal miles. Because the elevation gain and loss, you know, you're constantly climbing up and over those passes and down those passes. You might want to be a little more conservative on your estimates as far as the mileage that you're knocking out. And then also, if I had to do it over again, I did it in 23 days with 2 zeros, which was fun. But I would probably give myself maybe a couple more days just so I could hang out at some lakes, like at Ray Lakes or something like that, because we got into Ray Lakes and it was kind of late in the afternoon. It was beautiful. And when I woke up, I was just shocked at how nice it was, but I needed to push on and keep going. So I didn't have an opportunity just to kind of hang out and go swimming and really enjoy it.
Okay. But, speaking of swimming, did you take any dips along the way?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Where'd you go in?
I went in up at, I've drawn a blank now, Garnet Lake.
Okay, yep.
Yep, so as you go across Garnet Lake, there's kind of an outlet where the lake drains, and as you walk across there, there's like a sandy beach over there, so it's fairly warm for the Sierra, and I went swimming in there, and that was really nice.
It was 57 degrees instead of 55 degrees?
Exactly.
Yes, nice.
And actually it was probably 70s, but okay. Maybe 60s. I don't know. But, and then up around Cathedral Lakes too. That was real nice too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are the two places I went swimming.
Okay. Now, what were some of your more memorable moments out there? When you think back on this trip, what jumps out at you?
Well, of course, Whitney's always a memory as you're going up there, which is cool because you're going up. Actually, I'm going to back up for a second because at Chicken Spring Lake, I really didn't have very high expectations of Chicken Spring Lake looking at photos, but the trees and stuff there were really cool. You know, even the dead trees were really neat. And then Whitney, you know, you're climbing up that Rocky Mountain, and that's always fun. And summiting that was awesome. And then going back across toward the suspension bridge and stuff, that was fun. Actually, when I was going in there, I ran into a bear, which was fun. I was coming around a corner and I could see some movement there, Dan Becker has a really short, funny video where he's doing an interview kind of with himself, but anyway, it's a hiker talking to like a neighbor, and they're like, well, what are you gonna do if you run into wild animals out there? And he's like, well, I'm just going to yell, hey, bear. And they're going to instinctively run away in fear. And then at the end of the video, you hear him going, hey, bear, hey, bear. And he's running away from a bear chasing them, you know? So anyway, I ran into the bear and I'm like, hey, bear, hey, bear. And He's just kind of looking at me, and he slowly starts walking away. He was a really pretty cinnamon-colored bear, you know, brown bear, but he was a black bear. But and I started the trail kind of turned, so I'm following him in, and he turns around and kind of squares up with me a little bit, facing me. And I'm like, oh, are we going to have a charge here? What's going on? I'm like, hey, bear, you know? And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to slowly walk away here. And I'm, you know, hopefully didn't think I'm prey or something, but it wasn't really a big deal. And I walked on away, and then I'm heading toward the suspension bridge. And some kid comes running down the trail, literally running, and I turn around real fast, and he's like, what's up? And I said, oh, well, I just ran into a bear. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't the bear running back after me. And he's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he had his earbuds on and stuff. I'm like, yeah, you probably ran right past him. And I saw another guy, and he's at the bear box. And I'm like, hey, buddy, you're going to want to use that tonight. I just ran across a bear there. And he's like, really? How big? And I'm like, well, you know, I kind of explained how big he was. He's a pretty good-sized bear. And how old? And I'm like, I don't know how old he is. And so I went on down to the suspension bridge and filtered water and came back up. And he's like, hey, buddy. And I'm like, what? And he's like, your bear just stole somebody's pack. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, your bear just stole somebody's pack and ran off with his pack. And I chased that bear down and I gave him a real hay bear. I threw a bunch of rocks at him and scared him, you know, hit the trees and stuff to make a lot of noise. And then finally dropped the pack and kind of looked a little bit like a yard sale. And he dropped it, and the guy was able to get all his food and stuff back.
And now, let me clarify. Were you the one chasing the bear and throwing rocks at it? Or this is the guy telling you the story?
No, the guy, after I filtered the water, the guy was like telling at the bear box, hey, you better watch this.
Right.
And come to find out, he was actually a guide up in Alaska, and was the guy that was kind of watching the fishing guys, and he was up there with the bear spray, and I think he said he had a shotgun with rubber bullets up there, so he's used to chasing off the big brown bear, so it was no big deal. But it was kind of funny, because later I found out it was one of the guys that I summited Whitney with, Chirac, and Rob, another one of the guys I met, who was like, well, now we're going to call him Bear Bait. But I didn't have a chance to see him again, but it was Chirac that got his pack stolen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they were getting ready to go home. He got his pack home. He's got a good story, I'm sure, right now.
Yeah, that is a good story. That's great.
So that was fun. And then, of course, the suspension bridge was fun. And then, you know, just meeting all the people on the trail was awesome, and visiting with everybody and seeing how the when you're going through the different elevations and stuff, how the terrain changes as far as kind of different climatic type zones and vegetation that you're experiencing on the trail. Well, that was fun. Mm-hmm. And then the only other thing that was kind of funny that happened there was when I was at Vermilion Valley Resort, kind of hanging out, you know, having a beer and watching a storm blow across the lake. Well, it just barely sprinkled on us, but they're running their ferry. They're using just a fishing boat because the lake's so low. So they had this guy in his 30s or so zipping across the lake to pick up the afternoon hikers. And that storm, as it was blowing across, he had a couple lightning strikes hit the lake. And, so the hikers at the other end of the lake were in the middle of a hailstorm and a big rainstorm. And it was a pretty intense storm from what I hear. We weren't experiencing it on our side of the lake. And the ferry operator just ran the boat up on shore, jumped out of the boat and said, run! And he wasn't a hiker. He ran all the way back to the resort 7.5 miles and left the boat there. And then they had to pick it up the next day. So it was kind of like a John Candy movie, you know, if you've ever seen The Great Outdoors or something like that. It was just, I thought it was pretty funny. And then hearing the guy talk, I had a chance to talk to him a little bit at the bar a little bit later. And he's like, man, I'm sore. I had no idea that trail you had to go up and down so much. You know, he's like, I had a new Bluetooth speaker on. I turned it on as loud as it would go. And I just ran as fast as I could trying to get away from that light.
So that is hilarious. That is a scene out of a movie. That's crazy.
It was good.
Yeah.
But
now, Smooth, did you have any favorite passes out there?
I really enjoyed Forester. We when we were hiking up to Forester, we camped just to blow it. And where we were camping there, we ended up cowboy camping. And then we did Forester. It really wasn't that big of a deal for us. Of course, we had perfect weather conditions and no snow. So it's not like we were a PCT hiker battling that. And that was beautiful. And then
nice. Now hang on, I'll clarify. You're going northbound, and yes, you cowboy camped right before Forester.
That's correct. Yes,
I've heard from other people that is an amazing night of camping just south of Forester.
It was beautiful. We were kind of overlooking a lake and the mountains, and you'd wake up and look up and you'd just see the stars and see, you know, shooting stars and everything like that. So that was very memorable.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was very, very nice.
And other than Forester, another favorite pass?
Forester, I was surprised. Kearsarge wasn't too bad. Mm-hmm. But we did Kearsarge and Glen in the same day. And Glen was a bit of a grind mm-hmm. getting over that one. I guess Glen was memorable. Just because it was a little more difficult than I had expected going into Ray Lakes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's like a knife's edge up there on Glen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get that sense of, you know, sheer drop-off on either side of you.
You definitely feel like you're going over a pass. Some of the other passes were like, is this really a pass? But Glen is like, oh, yeah, this is it.
So, this is a pass. This is an official pass. Yeah, my son and I, we camped just north of Glen. We're actually between Ray Lakes and Glen Pass. There's a nice little hidden campsite there. And we ended up doing Glen the next morning and then over Forester in the afternoon. So we did Glen and Forester in the same day, which was...
Oh, there you go.
He was 19 at the time. And so I was just trying to keep up with him. The pressure was on.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't let him get too far out in front of you.
That's right.
You wouldn't hear the end of it.
Exactly right. Smooth. Exactly right. Yes. How about campsites? Do you have any favorite campsites?
Campsites. I think, again, Ray Lakes was one of my favorites. We actually got in there and it was almost dark, set up our tents, and, I was hiking with Rob at that point in time. And then in the morning, when I looked out my window, I had this incredible view of the lake and everything. It was just like, wow, it was right out of a postcard, no doubt. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And I don't know. There was a lot of memorable spots as far as nice camp spots along the way, but, that was definitely one of my favorites there.
Now, where at Ray Lakes did you camp? Was it the lake closest to Glen Pass or the lake furthest from Glen Pass?
Furthest.
Furthest, yeah. We had a campsite on that lake as well. It was just gorgeous.
Right. Yep. Yeah, we ended up the furthest one. So we went past the ranger station and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, did you finish at Happy Isles?
I did. I finished Happy Isles. And so when I was coming into, where was I coming into? Look, I'm cheating here. Tommy Meadows. I started getting into some smoke at that point in time from the fires mm-hmm. just a little bit up until that point. It was perfect weather all the way, except for Silver Pass. When I did Silver Pass, I had about a day maybe a half a day of rain. Mm-hmm. One lightning strike up there, but we went ahead and pushed on over because it wasn't too bad. And then finished up in Happy Isles. And so going past Half Dome and all that stuff, you couldn't see that very well because of the smoke from the fire.
But
that's okay. You know, it's okay. My next trip on the John Muir Trail, I'll hit it. Maybe I can hit it from the other direction and go southbound next time and hit Half Dome and all that good stuff. You never know.
That's great. I love hearing that, Smooth. I love hearing next time on the JMT, and then you're not just doing the same thing, but doing it from the different direction. That would be incredible.
Yeah, it'd be fun for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And take us through that last day where, you know, you've got 250 plus miles under your feet and you are heading in towards that final sign down past Nevada Falls and down into Happy Isles. Was it crowded? Were there a lot of people on hand? And, you know, what were you feeling? What were you thinking as you were taking those final steps?
It was fun. Because of course, when you're in the middle of the trail and you stop and talk to hikers, everybody's doing the same thing that you are because you're out there so far, you know, so either they're northbound or southbound JMT or PCT hikers. And you've got a lot in common with them. And as you're getting into Happy Isles and you're getting into all the tourists, it's starting to feel a little bit more like Disneyland coming in there. And, you know, you got a lot of day hikers and that kind of stuff. And people don't have a clue what you've just done or anything along those lines. And it was cool because my wife ended up coming back in to pick me up, her and her sister. So I was met them down at one of the waterfalls down there. And it was a great way to finish the hike because, you know, I had family there and somebody to kind of celebrate with and go out and eat some pizza and have some beers and just relax and relive it a little bit with them. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, Mike, what an accomplishment. Congratulations. I am so excited for you and a little bit jealous because even though I was in the Sierras, There's nothing quite like the John Muir Trail. So what an accomplishment. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, one thing I would say to anybody that's thinking about doing it, and that is just train for it and do it, you know, get out there and go for it. And it's interesting because now that I've had an opportunity to do this, I feel more confident going out and doing something similar or maybe even something a little bit more challenging in the future. So, you know, I had some knee issues and stuff when I first started. I was going to physical therapy. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And I was like, but I am not going to miss this opportunity, and just took it one step at a time. And, you know, it was an awesome trip and everything worked out great.
Okay. Now, Smooth, one of my favorite questions to ask is, what would 260 mile Smooth whisper in the ear of mile one Smooth? What advice would you have for yourself as you're getting started on this hike again?
Just relax and enjoy living the moment and just take it all in. I think that would be one of the things. I don't really know what else to say other than that. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done. And I'm so happy that by happy coincidence, I ran into you out there. That was, you know, what a story that is as well.
That was felt like a very small world when that happened. That's for sure. And actually it was interesting because I ran into some other people too, that I had kind of communicated with a little bit on Facebook from the John Muir Trail Facebook page. And it was cool running into those people too, as well. And, I will say one thing, and that is when you're doing the John Muir Trail, take the time to hit all the sites and enjoy everything. So go swimming, when you're over around Muir Ranch, go hit the hot springs. You know, those were fun. That really wasn't a swim. That was more of a dip, but, and just take advantage of everything that you can do.
I would wholeheartedly echo that. We were on the High Sierra Trail and we went by the Kern Hot Springs. And I said, hey, are we doing the springs? And the guys I'm hiking with are like, well, you know, we can stop for lunch or whatever. I don't think I'm going to do it. And I said, guys, we are out here for the experience. I'm going to experience everything. I'm going in the hot spring. And I did it. And I think I guilted them into doing it as well.
There you go. No,
what are we doing out here? We're not here just to pound the miles. We are out here to experience things.
That's it for sure. Yeah. And I think that's what's kind of cool about doing the John Muir Trail, is it's a short enough trail that you can slow down just a little bit and enjoy it. I'm not taking anything away from the PCT hikers. Those guys kick. You know, when you watch them, you know, you know when you got a PCT hiker coming up on you or close to you, because they're just kicking up those passes like it's nothing, because they got good trail legs and they're used to knocking out 20s, you know, easy. And I think my longest day was about 20 miles going into Vermilion Valley Resort. Most of my days I was probably doing like, you know, 12 to 15 probably closer to 15, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's hike your own hike out there, but I think there is a difference in the type of hike that, that folks do. So, I mean, PCT, they've got to cover 2,600 miles.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have unlimited time. It's very rare the person that has unlimited time. And so they've got to do the miles. They've got to do 20, 25, 30, 30 plus miles. Right. And so they are pounding the trail and they're getting after it. But if you're doing a 260 mile hike over 23 days, I mean, you have the luxury of being able to, you know, look around and smell the roses and take a dip in the lakes and get into those hot springs and whatever else is out there.
Absolutely. That's it. You definitely want to get in the lakes and enjoy the hot springs and do it all.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if I expressed this to the listeners out there, but it was so cool seeing you on top of Cottonwood Pass and the whole way it went down. You know, I hear you guys talking. I hear your name is Mike. All of a sudden something clicks in my mind. July 2nd. That's a date I'm familiar with a guy named Mike. He's doing the, you know, you said you're doing the John Muir Trail. And yeah. So I looked at Mike and I said, is your name Mike? And you said, yes. And I said, is it Mike Riggs? And in your eyes, you got really wide. Like, oh my gosh, how does this guy know my name? And it was then when we realized who each other was. That was, it was so, so fun. That was great. Well, congratulations, Smooth. Hey, Smooth, you know where we are?
No, because I don't remember if we did the pro tip last time or not. That's the only place we might be. So
the pro tip insight of the week.
Look at all that. Right. You're a seasoned vet of the JFM pod. That's right. It is time for the pro tip insight of the week. That time of the episode where you get to share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. So Smooth, what do you have for us?
Okay, so I think the most important thing I can say is do not be shy on the John Muir Trail. Say hello to everybody you meet. Take the time to visit with them. You're going to meet people from all over the world, all over the U.S. You're probably going to make some new friends that you hopefully are going to be lifelong friends for you. And that's one of the beauties of doing this trail is just the people out there are incredible. And I think I kind of said that during the interview, but I'll just say it one more time. So that's my number one pro tip. That is my number one pro tip. And then the other tip that I had is when I was, you know, thinking about the TP situation and having to carry that out. And so one of the guys that I was hiking with, he was doing the Baudet thing. And I that's not going to work for me because I've almost got a pre-dig cat holes when I wake up in the morning. There's a clock ticking when I wake up. So actually what I did is I went to the pet food store and picked up little doggy bags like you would use to pick up after your dog, and use those, and they worked out really slick. It was no big deal to pick up after yourself and make sure everything was clean out there. And that's one thing that was really cool about the trail too, is I don't think I saw any TP on the trail and stuff like that. So,
okay. So just to clarify, you use the doggy bags to house your used TP.
That is correct. And then I threw those in a big Ziploc bag.
Got it.
And yeah, They're black, and it was no big deal, you know. So you just had a little roll of those babies, ripped it off, threw your used TP in there, threw it in the bag, and you were done.
For a second there, I thought you were picking up your business and carrying that the whole way with you. That you're supposed to be getting rid of weight, not adding it. So.
Yeah. No. Okay. I do have one other pro tip, and that is you might look at your food situation. And you're probably, I guess it varies quite a bit, but I ended up taking more than I really needed. And that's a real balancing act there. I guess that's just something you got to learn from experience. So
it is. I found on most of my trips, I typically bring stuff back with me. I bring more than I should have. And it's, you know, I'm planning on, you know, what do I eat in the morning? What do I eat during the day? Lunch, dinner. And, you know, you're out there working. And sometimes, you know, it almost feels like you're too tired to eat, or you don't get after it too much.
Oh, I agree with you 100% there. Are sometimes, some days it's just like, you know, you're too tired. I like one night I came into camp and I ate a Snickers bar for dinner and went to bed, you know? And then also you will get tired of some of your food. So it's good to have a little variety out there.
Yes.
When I hiked in that 20 miles to Vermilion Valley Resort, it's because I didn't want to eat one more of my bars that I had. So
that's a nice incentive there to do the extra miles. All right. Well, hey, so there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Smooth. Want to thank him for joining us this week. Mike, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
Latest adventures. I post a few things on YouTube. It's Mike Riggs Adventures, R-I-G-G-S. And then Instagram, it's just Mike R. Riggs is where they can find me there. So,
okay. Well, remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
All right, Mike. I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some kind of adventure media that's going to keep our listeners connected to the outdoor life. We call this our Adventure Media Recommendation. What do you have?
So the Adventure Media Recommendation, there is a book called The Trail. It's about the John Muir Trail, and it's about a young guy that's hiking with one of his dad's buddies. And this his dad's friend's not real well. And that's kind of an interesting book. So that's a good one. And I'd say that's it.
The Trail. Do you know who wrote it?
I don't. Right. I can look it up here, but I am drawing a blank right now. You might edit this out here.
Oh, no, this is good stuff right here.
It's The Trail by Ethan Gallagy, G-O-L-L-O-G-Y.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually that's available on Audible too. So if you're out hiking, you can listen to that while you're hiking. So,
all right. Sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
What have we not asked you?
All right, Smooth. Before we wrap things up, I've got just one more segment for you called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What did we miss during the interview, either segment one or segment two?
Okay, I would think, what you've got to do is you got to eat breakfast at Vermilion Valley Resort, because the pancakes, I mean, it's just incredible how much food you're going to get there. I was like, I want that cheeseburger. I'm hiking in there so I can get that cheeseburger. I never ate one because I always ate such a big breakfast, I couldn't eat lunch. And so that's one. And then, and then you're going to want to get a shake at Red's Meadow too. So the chocolate shakes at Red's Meadow are to die for as well. So those two things you got to do.
Nice. You can calorie boost at Reds and at Vermilion. Excellent.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, that is a wrap from the John Freaking Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, Smooth?
I just want to thank my wife for all of her support and say hello to all the guys I met on the trail. The Zonies, Dave Scott, Chris and John, Shirok, Rob, and Robin. And then also David, too. So yeah, just met a lot of really awesome people out there.
Nice. Friendships you're going to carry on with after the trail?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Planning on doing some trips. Who knows, maybe Wind River or something like that here in the future.
Oh, fantastic. You've got to come back on and talk to us about it.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hey, thank you for tuning in. Always remember, the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if the bear stole your backpack and tossed your gear to get your food. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.
All right.